be sharing with you today is about the work of a good Bible translator. And is anyone from here have an experience or have encountered the ministry of Wycliffe Bible Translator? There's a few. And I'll be positioning my message from the standpoint of Wycliffe Philippines and the vision of Wycliffe Philippines, and then move on into the work of Wycliffe Bible Translators as a whole, because the organization is about 100 plus organizations, federated Wycliffe organizations all over the world. And one of the biggest is Wycliffe USA, and I think second to that would be Global Bible Translators, which is the Wycliffe Korea. So I suppose they're Koreans here, they're Koreans here, so that's the second largest Bible translation organization in the world. Okay, as you can see from the first slide, the title of my message is The Ticking Clock. It's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. But on the side, you see the vision of Wycliffe Philippines. And that's the vision of Wycliffe Philippines. And could you read that with me? Can you see it from there? Can you read it? Ready? Go. Wycliffe Bible Translators Philippines Incorporated envisions a global network of Filipinos and like-minded Jews contributing to Bible translation initiatives in all the languages that we want to hear by, and the spiritual transformation of 50 Bibleist groups in Asia and elsewhere in the world. That is essentially the vision of Wycliffe Philippines, and it aligns itself with the vision of Wycliffe as a whole, which is Vision 2025. That is, by 2025, all the remaining languages of the world would have begun a Bible translation work. It doesn't mean that by 2025, everything is completed. It would have begun the work of Bible translation in the remaining languages. Matthew chapter 24, please turn with me to that book. Matthew chapter 24, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." We all know this passage, right? And I am coming to you not as a scholar. I am coming to you not as a scholar who would exegete every portion of this text, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to exegete the text, right? Just to prepare you to think that that guy is not being a scholar. I come here as a person who would encourage you in missions and explain Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 in this context, and how it relates to the work of Bible translation. Why don't we pray? Let's bow our heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this great opportunity that we could reflect upon your word. I pray, oh God, that you would speak to us today, touch our hearts, open our minds, and help us to listen to you and to be able to appreciate the work of Bible translation and bringing your word in the Bible-less, unreached, and unengaged people groups of the world. And it is our prayer that as you speak to us, we might find ourselves perhaps receiving a call or being refreshed or reminded again of a call to serve in the frontier of Bible translation. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's move on to the next slide. And this gospel of the kingdom, every time you see the word "and," you know that it connects with the preceding chapters and preceding verses, right? And we all know that Matthew chapter 24 is a lengthy chapter stretching to chapter 25 about what's going to be in the last days, right? Jesus was going down the temple and then he ascended the Mount of Olives, and the disciples said, "Wow, look at that, that's a nice picture," and they were looking at the temple. And Jesus said, "Yeah, it's beautiful right now. That's good. That's great. But you know what's going to happen with that temple? It'll be destroyed. And that's bad news, right?" That was bad news. And Jesus talked about what's going to happen in the temple. Everything's going to be destroyed. And there'll be wars. And there'll be rumors of wars. And there'll be pestilences and all kinds of problems in the world. It was a cosmic picture of badness. And then later on in verse 14, he said, "But you know, all that is bad news, but there's good news. See, there's good news. There's the gospel. And this is the gospel of the kingdom." And then Jesus explains what the gospel of the kingdom is. Okay? This is good news. Before there is good news, there is bad news. So you can't separate two. It's either good news or bad news. But Jesus said, in the midst of what's going to happen in the future, and some of it was happening already during Jesus' time, you know, despite of all these things that are happening, there is good news. Isn't that good news? It is good news. You know, when you look around today, we know that there's a lot of problems happening in the world. A lot of problems happening in the world. And despite of this badness that is happening in the world, there is good news. Because there is good news in the gospel. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope amidst the turmoil that we're experiencing in the world. And when you think of the kingdom, you know, the disciples were thinking of the kingdom in terms of Jesus, you know, becoming king, and that is even reflected in Acts chapter 1, where the disciples were asking, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Even John the Baptist was thinking, are you the king? Are you going to look for someone else? You know, are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, these things are happening, 1, 2, 3, 4, and yeah, the kingdom is king. But the kingdom was not that of a physical king sitting on the throne and having his own people, his soldiers, his army, conquering everyone. It wasn't that kingdom. It was more of the kingdom in the hearts of men, where Christ resides as king. So it wasn't so much of the physical, but rather more of the spiritual reality of the kingdom of Christ in the hearts of men. And that was the gospel. It took a while before the disciples realized that was the kingdom. After Acts chapter 2, then that's the time that they realized, oh, so this is the kingdom. It operates in the power of the Spirit, transforming individuals into Christ-likeness. And that is only a portion of the kingdom. That is like the microcosm of the kingdom in the life. We know that it's going to happen. Jesus Christ will reign, you know, physically. We will see him reign physically, and so that is part of the message of the kingdom. The next slide, please. So, when you look at the work of Bible translation, this is the quite obvious, right? It's a map of the world. And you can see numbers in certain portions of the map. On the far left, you would see Americas. There's number 72. 72 represents the remaining Bibleless people groups in the Americas. And then, you know, upper right, you see Europe, and it has 43. Then right next to it is Asia, 582. And then right in the middle is Africa. Anyone from Africa here? No one? In Africa, there's 759, and in the Pacific, there's 403. This totals to 1,859 Bible. I tell you, if you want to go frontier ministry, bringing the gospel, bringing the word of God in oral and written form in a language community that has never heard of Jesus Christ, has never seen a missionary, has never seen a church, this is the way to go. If you want, if you see yourself, someone sharing the gospel for the first time to a people group who has never heard of Jesus Christ, this is the way to go. Okay? In fact, that is the passion that energizes me with the work that God has assigned to me. Now look closer. Right in, you know, more to the right, you'd see the concentration of unreached people groups would be in Africa, Asia, and the Pacific. Now we all have heard of the 10-word widow. Have we heard of the 10-word widow? And we all have heard of the 10-word widow. 10-word widow is simply 10 degrees and 40 degrees latitude in the map, north latitude. And as you look at the map, the remaining Bible people groups are mostly the 10-word widow. Isn't that amazing? Right? It's not in North America, no. It's not even in Europe. It's in the global south. Everybody say global south. And we are part of the global south. It's Africa, Asia, and Pacific. That's it. That's the 10-word window. It's here. The 10-word window is about 1/3 of the total land area of the world. 1/3. Okay? So the remaining 2/3 is that. Okay? But then you think of the population in a 1/3 of the Earth's total land area. You know what's the size of the population? 2/3 of the world's population reside in the 10-word window. Isn't that staggering? Are you not moved by that thought? 2/3 of the world's population reside in the 10-word window. And we're talking about China, India, and Indonesia. These are the three countries that are highly populated, and a lot of Bible-less people groups out there. And so, cutting-edge missions really strike them. Perhaps God is calling you to minister in the network. Perhaps God is calling you to minister in China, in Indonesia, in India. You have the training, you have the you have your studies equipped you for the work. You have your biblical languages, you know, that is crucial in Bible translation. You have your Hebrew and Greek. You have your exegesis. You have your history. You have your hermeneutics. You have your theology. You have your training that will enable you to minister to these people groups of the world. Next slide. And so it says, will be preached in a whole world. Will be preached in a whole world. You know, during Jesus' time, we know the only thing that was printed was like the scrolls of the Old Testament. There weren't any New Testament. And most of what the people had was really oral. You know, people spoke. People told stories. They weren't much into reading. Today, we are into reading. We are highly literate people. We are highly educated people. But you know, when you talk about preaching the gospel in the whole world, preaching the gospel requires a different set of skills. Today, the remaining unreached people groups of the world, also two-thirds, they don't read or write. It doesn't mean they're ignorant. No. They are simply oral. They are oral preference. Everybody say oral. So, if you go out and preach to them, you share the gospel, you open your Bible and say, here. And they say, perhaps they will look at it, you know, like, show it like they can read, but maybe they can't read. And some of them don't even want to read. And so what happened in the word of Bible translation is carefully. What happened in Bible translation is there's a change in the paradigm. Before, let's say, I'm a great Bible translator. When you send me to a Bible speaking group, I would work with a partner. Most of the time, that would be my spouse. And I would get someone who is a language helper, so he's the speaker, he's an Indian, and I begin to translate the Bible with the help of the language helper. And that would take about 10, 15, 20 years sometimes. Technology back then wasn't as efficient as it is today. And so I would translate. And then after translating it, again, 15, 20, I would present the Bible to people who would say, now you have a Bible. And the people who say, oh, you have a Bible. I'm surprised. You have a Bible. Yes, yeah, you now have a Bible. And so we can read. Can read. And so what the missionary would do, he can read. I will teach you about the Bible. And so what happened was, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, the missionary will stay there and try to educate the people group because of the Bible that they translated and the dictionaries that were made and the government that said, oh great, you've done us a great favor, our education, now we have dictionary, everything. But the last thing that we really want to see has not really happened, and that is to engage the people group in direct evangelism. And see a spiritual transformation is obvious to what we know as. That is true. Listen carefully. That is true even in the Philippines. We have Bibles. And this is not only true in the Philippines, this is true even in other parts of the world. They're called bodega Bibles. You know what bodega is, right? You know, Bibles in the storeroom. A lot of bodega Bibles now. You know why? You know why? Okay. Let's say, again, I am the translator, and Dr. Freud would be from that language community. And perhaps Dr. Freud would be at that time 10 years old, and I'll be like 30 when I start. Okay? So at 20 years, I'll be 50, and you'll be 30, right? By the time he gets 30 and I finish my work, the language has changed. Are you following me? And so when I give him the Bible, the language when I started, when he was 10, has changed. And so when he reads the Bible, this is different than this is King James. People are just King James. I saw our meetings while I was a kid. The language has changed. And so you deal with bodega Bibles. You deal with translations that became arcane. They became outdated because the people changed. Language, as you all know, is constantly evolving. Language changes. And generations have a different set of vocabulary, a different set of mindset. Right? So language changes. And so because of all these things that are happening, quickly, as a whole, we're trying to think. The world is changing, and we have to think and change our paradigm. We're not getting out of Bible translation, but there is a change that has to happen. In 2010, I articulated that, and I said, there has to be a Bible translation continuum. Everybody say, continuum. Bible translation continuum is like this. You go to a people group, and they have never seen a missionary. The weekly translator in the Philippines will go there as an evangelist, not as a Bible translator, but as an evangelist. He would share the gospel in his people group in story form. It is a continuum. To engage the unreached, they have to hear the gospel, right? They don't need to read the Bible. but they have to hear the message of the Bible. Are you following me? And so as I share the story, this person becomes a believer. He experiences being born again, right? And so by telling stories from the scriptures, you know, churches are planted, and then there's a church planting movement taking place. And then as churches are planted, believers are raised, you know, society changed, and then that's the time that there are being educated people in that community and say, we want to have our Bible. That is our Bible in written form. And so this is what's happening now, from an oral base to a literal or grammatical base, to a spoken base to a written base. So that is Bible translation. You start with what they need right now. That is to hear the message of the gospel. And then bring them to an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And this is eternal life. That they may know thee, Jesus Christ, and God has said, the living Jesus Christ. And then be able to read the Bible and be built up in their faith. Another thing that is changing when it comes to preaching. One time I was in Palanan, Isabela, with members of the Mountains in Palanan, Isabela. The only way to get there is by plane because you have to fly across the Sierra Madre Mountains. Anyone here from the Palanan, Isabela area? Anyone from Isabela area? If you have to fly the plane. And then we have a conference with the Agda tribal community. And they're all unlearners. They don't need any more time. We were in that meeting and they were talking about things. Because our missionary there already had the audio version of the gospel of Luke in the language of the Agda. And what he did was to splice it, to chop it digitally, and distribute it. And the Agdas were carrying a solar-powered speaker. A solar-powered speaker. And they were discussing about the things. They were talking about S. Book and Murray. What is this new and more red? After all the learning and education that I've known, I don't understand what is S and more red. Anybody here who knows what is S and more red? Nobody knows, right? But you know what? They were using a technology, that solar powered speaker, they would bring it to the mountains and they would put more red. More red is memoristic. S boys. You can speak. So they would take this solar power speaker and they would put the more or the S book and they would gather around this small box and listen to the word of God in audio form. And then the facilitator would raise questions and that's how they disciple, they follow up, and they raise leaders in the mountains. Not to give them a book and to read, no, they're oral. That is how it is to preach in the barbarous people of the world. It's oral. And so, we have to preach the gospel in the whole world. So we ask yourself, what is the world like now? It's predominantly oral. Even in the modern societies, even in our days, you know, our children, they will read from the book. They would read from their tab, or they're from iPad, right? Or instead of reading, if they can have an audio book, they would listen to the book. The world today, even in civilized societies, is highly oral. So we preach in the whole world. Next slide. Here's a video. This is in Africa. There's no audio. Okay. I was just using my cell phone.
taking time.
See, even in Africa, the pastor is rare, open time. That's the church building, actually. So these are the leaders in Africa. They're mostly German, and they enabled us to come over and teach in a module. And there's this one from Africa. He decided to study here at 18 MPS. These are bishops and national overseers. The one speaking is from Liberia, where Ebola, the target that's harnessed by Ebola. Also, I'm director of a seminar in Liberia.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, David. Okay, let's hear from Armindo.
That one is from Mozambique.
Yeah, greet us in your language.
It's the prayer. Yeah. is the campus where we train the missionaries. This is the batch, first batch of graduates.
Thank you.
Okay. As I am, if you feel God is calling you this kind of work, there are certain things that you need to do. First, finish your training here at APMTS. Amen? Finish it well. Get all the necessary equipment. And then, write us a letter of intention. Say, you're considering working, serving in Wicklow. And it doesn't mean that you'll be serving in Wicklow, Philippines. In your countries, there might be Wicklow organization. Or in your countries, you might have Bible-less people groups. And you feel that you want to be the person God is going to use. And bring the Word of God in your heart. Last week, I was in IGSL, and there were several nationalities who came forward. There was one from Bangladesh who said, I'm going to come back and I want to be trained. If I could share the Word of God in our language. Next, two tribal groups. And then there's one from India, and another one from Myanmar. I understand one is from Myanmar here, from Myanmar. There are opportunities in Asia. And write us, and we'll help you, we'll connect you, so that you can serve God's call in your life. And if in the Philippines you are burdened, again, write and call and we'll help you. If you feel that you are called to be a Bible translator or a church planter or a pastor, or perhaps you're good at computers or writing communications, the work of Bible translation requires a whole lot of people, not just linguists and translators. It requires support people, support groups, support personnel. You can also fulfill that. And so we're all in this together, Matthew chapter 24, that we all preach the gospel to all the nations as a witness. And then the age of life. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your promise that there is an end game. And we want to be a part of that end game. We want to contribute, Lord, towards the fulfilling of the end, and that is the preaching of the gospel to the whole world as a witness to the nations. And Father, even in this world, we represent different nations, different countries. We pray, Lord, that for the moment that you are equipping each and every one of your people here at APMTS, they would always steer the vision of God that you have called them to do, O God. And that when they come back to their countries, and that when they go to their field of assignments, Lord, they will be a light to the nations, Lord. They will bring the gospel to the nations to see the end to come. We can only do this, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. So I pray, O God, that even as we end my message today, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would reside with the power and the glory and Lord today, we give all the glory and the praise to the same. Lord, God's people say, amen.